Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have with me a very, very senior corporate professional from Singapore, Mr. Nitin Govila. Nitin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Ashutosh, for having me here. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Nitin is a global senior vice president with Surge Ferrari, which is in the business of construction. He's a cross-cultural expert and he's a certified mediation trainer.
Meditation trainer, my apologies.
So Nitin, let's talk a little bit about your journey. You said you were telling me that you left India in 2003 and have been in France and various other countries.
Yeah.
Tell me about your journey to the top in multiple countries across several countries. What did you do right? What were your challenges and what were your learnings?
Okay. So I'll start with a little bit background that when I did my engineering and MBA in India, having worked across, construction material, which was Nerolac paints or Kansai Nerolac, as they call it now, and then with Amul, those were the times where a lot of changes were happening worldwide in the economy. I felt the need that having done what I did as studies and experience of 7 years, I felt there was something I needed to add. And that's where I feel the need to add an element of an international management program. So that brought me to France to do my MBA at HEC. And that's where things kind of changed perspective, because obviously once you're in an international environment, and as part of my MBA, I got exposed to a French company where I did a 6 months professional project, which kind of then ensured that they actually liked my work, and they ended up having me saying that, why don't you join us? So that really started my second phase of my journey. So why I'm giving this background is because actually the first part did help me, because what I did in my 7 years in India, that really helped me to get that project when I was doing my MBA. And that also helped me to kind of get the role which I got the role once I started working full time with that French company. And I worked for 3-4 years. It was an international company, a €1 billion enterprise in home automation. So for building systems, for awnings, blinds, and all related to home automation elements, that was a company, is a world leader, and it still is.
Okay.
So, so I would say the first step for me in the place where I am today would be an element of being aware and being sensitive to cross-cultural elements. Because before 2003, I had not even left my country ever once, not even for a holiday for that matter, you know. So the fact that I took a flight and left in 2003, and I in fact even left my job, which was not so common that time to do a full-time MBA, was already itself a big thing. And actually being open and courageous enough to do this, and being open to cultural elements when you observe, when you work, even in your MBA, you have 40 students all coming from different backgrounds and countries and experiences. I think that set the real tone and seed, if I may say so, to help me thereafter in my last, I passed out in 2005, so last 17 years of work, which I did in France, and then for the last 13-14 years doing based out of Singapore, but across geographies, including Europe, including Middle East and Africa, and the whole of Asia Pacific. So I would say these two elements, cross-cultural and being open, capability and ability to listen and to understand, was also very important, because the way people work is very different, and specifically I would say French companies. At the same time, you know, not kind of, sometimes you know, sometimes that you may know much more in a certain field, but not imposing yourself, being finding the right time and the moment where you can share your understanding and knowledge so that you know, people can appreciate and accept that. Obviously, there have been some experiences, I would say, where you may feel that, okay, and that's also a learning, where sometimes you feel, okay, doing this way, but then it leads to a chance of misinterpretation or misunderstanding. So even what you may feel in your culture or how I might have worked, works in a certain way, but in another culture may be interpreted. I would say interpretation of that may be taken differently. So even to, and this came as moved along, that even while we may consider or I may consider something is right or the way to do, I also have to be sensitive to the interpretation which might be taken by the other person, because they come from a different context and perspective. So to able to even foresee that and take that into consideration is, I think, that's an everlong journey. I would say it never ends. But that has also helped me a lot in that
sense. Well said. So Nitin, tell me, you know, you mentioned that in 2003, you took a leap of faith and you went off to Paris to study. For all our viewers and listeners, tell us, how did you feel leaving India for the first time, not sure what to expect, giving up a job, and yet you landed on your feet and have really flown after that. Tell me about that experience and how did you feel just walking away from everything?
Yeah, it was not an easy decision. I mean, obviously, you know how things work in India. There are always people sometimes to give opinions and some are very good and very interesting. But in the end, I suppose, and that's where I would bring in the element of meditation here, because I was meditating. I mean, it was just 1999 I started. The fact that to be able to, you know, really get the right guidance from your heart, that 4 years really helped me a lot. And when this decision had to take, so one was the, I would say, the material concepts, the good and bad, the right and wrong, which we, as managers we do, you can always tick boxes.
Right.
But finally, to take that leap of faith only comes from the heart. And this is where I meditated. I put that problem in front of me. I meditated for a few days. And more as I started feeling comfortable and I felt that the answer came to me at the end of meditation, I felt then there is no point to bring the mind into it and start again judging the right or wrong or good or bad. I just went ahead because I felt in my heart that, and that's the answer I also received, that this is the way to go. So when I landed, yes, I mean, obviously it was an experience being exposed, as I mentioned, to different people coming from different experiences. So you learn a lot. Sometimes you get a reality check. And then the way, you know, when you're doing your MBA, whether you have to do a project, whether you have to do a professional project or a training or something, obviously you're exposed to one kind. And then there, so those challenges were there. I think I might have applied to 50, 60 or even 100 companies for my summer project, or it was an international project of 6 months, which is the option I took for, and got many rejections. Now, I had to be courageous enough to take it in a stride. Was there a moment of self-doubt sometimes? Yes, it was that, okay, I'm spending so much money. I took this decision to come, but whether it will work or not, I was already, you know, married. I had a daughter, which was just 10 months when we left India. So it was not so easy times, I would say a few months, but finally it did work out, because in the end, my driving factor was that I felt right in my heart that this was the direction to do. And still, I think in the end, I always, even today, sometimes one of the, my best decisions or directions to take always comes from the heart. For a management professional to say that, somebody may wonder, you know, what's this guy saying? I mean, whether those decisions are not based on facts or not. It's not like that. But in the end, the heart kind of confirms to me that yes, because and we hear so many business leaders, right? They say, everything looked right, but somehow I didn't feel comfortable to say yes or no, or they pulled out at the last moment, or somehow they went ahead with that. So, it's been the same thing for me, I would say that.
Amazing, amazing. And I think what you're also talking about is what most people say is gut feel.
Exactly.
You're saying that meditation helps your heart to decide.
Yes.
That's fantastic. So, moving on, you know, tell me a little bit about the work that you do at Surge Ferrari. I hope I have the pronunciation correctly.
Exactly. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. It's sometimes people don't get it right. So Search Ferrari is, as you mentioned, we are in building and construction materials. Mm-hmm. It's a company which is a world leader in composite materials. Through its innovative technologies, we've developed what we call, in layman's language, I know people sometimes in certain countries will call it tarpaulin, but tarpaulin is very, very layman. Mm-hmm. We are actually what we call is technical textiles, mm-hmm. or technical fabrics or tensile membranes. There are many words to that, mm-hmm. all summarized under composite materials. So mm-hmm. Search Ferrari makes these materials. We are the only company which works transversal across 7 to 8 market segments. Mm-hmm. So we would have fabrics or technical materials or fabrics for inside of application, which could be blinds, interior, exterior, awnings, mm-hmm. acoustic fabrics. We have for tensile fabrics for exterior applications, which is what many people know about, like big stadiums, airports. There mm-hmm. are nearly 10 or 15 airports or 15 plus airports have been done in India through our fabrics, mm-hmm. or our airports. And then you have fabrics for biogas, for furniture, for marine applications, for marine equipment and yachts, mm. and those applications. Then for industrial applications and for event tents or small events. So the company makes the fabrics. These fabric comes in rolls. These rolls are then sold to a B2B partner, which also varies across industries. Mm-hmm. So for blinds, we will go to a blind manufacturer. Mm. For big structures, we will go to a tensile fabricator. For a furniture, we'll go to a furniture company in that sense. Mm. And these people have the necessary equipment who convert the fabrics, and then they do the installation on site. Right. So this is what the company does. Mm. My role is a general management role. I manage the business. If I may say, we've divided the world in 3 parts. Mm. So I manage the world for one part of it, which is Asia Pacific, Middle East and Africa. Mm. So and I report directly to the CEO. So it's general management. Under me, we have different sub-territories divided. So Middle East and Africa is one, South mm-hmm. Asia is another, and Greater China, Oceania. All these are headed by general managers or territory managers, mm-hmm. and they would have their own sales and specification team and back office, and each one is a separate P&L. So that's mm-hmm. the way the business is structured, and that's the way we manage. Okay. Interesting is across countries, market segments may vary. Mm-hmm. In some countries, we may be there in 6 market segments. In some others, we may be in only 2 and 3 in that sense, depending on the potential and whether we have the right product for that market.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, Nitin, you're also a cross-cultural expert.
Yeah.
And the world is becoming very conscious of culture, because culture has its own impact on everything that we say or do.
True.
Tell me a little bit about your expertise and what have been some of your learnings as you have worked across cultures.
Yeah, so this journey started actually when I first came to France. Mm. I was contacted by a company which was in cross culture, and they used to do training programs. Mm-hmm. So I was identified as an India expert to accompany that trainer when we conducted sessions for French companies who at that point of time in early 2000 were really looking at India as a key market. So we used to go and talk about the same context as I just mentioned to you at the beginning. Mm. I say something, you know, in a certain context, the person coming from a different context may have a chance to misinterpret or misunderstand or totally miss the point. Mm. Now, this is what I was talking about when I say India, France. But over the years in my role of Asia Pacific, which I've been handling across different companies for the last 15 years, and also when I was working in France and I did projects in US or some strategic projects across the world, you realize that when you interact, how people work in terms of how customers work, what's important to them, how they communicate and not communicate. You know, many cultures, a lot of things are said by not saying it, right? Mm-hmm. Or just being taking time. Whereas in certain cultures, we may just say or ask questions and expect everybody to answer as we want, mm-hmm. openly or this. But in some other cultures, you need to break that barrier. I always sometimes differentiate calling it as a mango or a coconut, mm-hmm. where you can be comfortable and friendly initially, but breaking through the seed of a mango takes a tough thing, you know. Vice versa, a coconut, it takes time to get the initial connection, but once you break through that, it's the soft skin inside where you are much closely working with the others. So whether it was working with Japan, Korea, or the countries in Southeast Asia, even Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, or Vietnam, or for example, in Middle East also, it's been a very amazing journey. So, and these elements, I'm also able to correlate from different cultures. So when we start businesses, or we are, we're kind of scaling up or making it the business more stable, or looking at new business opportunities, and to find the right partners, customers, and people, you know, it becomes very important, because you may get the best people in a country, but if they are not exposed to these elements, I have seen in my experience that then they struggle to work, you know, in an international environment or in some other environment.
Right.
So I think these, in my work, as you might have understood, I travel nearly 50% of the time, at least till 2019. I have started again since last year. This has also helped me to really gain. I am a firm believer. I don't only believe in learning only by seeing my teams locally. I always take out time to walk around, go to a mall, walk around in different communities, meet people out of workforce, because that's where you really get a good flavor or a real flavor of culture, which influences then when these people are in the workforce. So you kind of take a step back, but you really then understand how people, why do they work like that, or why do they, you know, interact or communicate like that.
Very interesting. And, now let me try and blend your two expertise of a cross-cultural expert and meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation is now again being talked about all over the world, and yet it is seen as a cultural impact coming out of one part of the world. How are you bridging culture and meditation with within yourself and with the people you work with?
Well said, actually, Mr. Ashutosh. In fact, in my when I first as I said, my journey with meditation started in 1999. I became a meditation trainer in 2000. So I follow a practice called heartfulness meditation, which is a practice based on meditation on the heart. So as a trainer, I'm a volunteer. So I conduct meditation sessions for anybody who's willingly interested, and we don't charge. So I use my personal time out of my professional and personal life to bring this for people. So when I moved to France, I continued with that. And that's where it's true, at that time and in those years, it was still like, okay, it's coming from India. And there was a different perspective to that. The fact that now people realize over the last 10 years and much more magnified in the COVID times that we need something for ourselves has made it much more easier and accepting for people. While it's true that, and it still remains that, one part of the world, and it's obviously, it's understood that it's mostly people assume it's coming from India, but there are different practices which have also come up, different trainers who are there, different parts of the world, who are bringing this and gelling that. So I was able to, and as a trainer, whichever country I went, if I had a chance to meet the local meditation group, which were there and who wanted, if sometimes some corporates wanted me to conduct sessions. That's where, using my cross-cultural knowledge, that how those countries work, what is important. Sometimes you have to be very careful which keywords you use, how you explain the same thing, because people can misunderstand, you know, they may connect it either to religion or some other things, which is actually not the case. It's a total neutral thing for your own self-development. So those elements also I was able to bring in when talking to people. Now, last few years, we've been doing, I do many sessions for many corporates in Singapore, but those have regional offices. People join from all parts of the world. More and more people are, open to that. How you share the things, how you make people understand that if you do a simple thing like that, it's not, it's not connected to any religion. It's only for your self-development. How you present those concepts, that has really helped me. Being exposed to different cultures and travel.
Wonderful.
And this is this I'm trying to do to bring that workplace well-being, which is becoming a very common concept now and very sought after, I would say, across the world and across the region.
Very interesting. So, Nitin, I've got time for one more question.
Yeah.
And this is for a lot of the young people who will be listening to our conversation. What would you say are three life lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take back from our conversation?
Okay. So for young people, I would say, first of all, that, you need to define what your core values are. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important. What's your compass? Or I won't use the word moral compass, because the moral word sometimes can be misunderstood again.
Yeah.
I think what's your compass, what's your value?
Mm.
And if you know that, then I think it will always hold you in good stead as an individual to be understood.
Yeah.
As an individual which is communicating.
Yeah.
And you will also be comfortable, because you will not play with those values according to the situation.
Mm.
And I think that's the most important part. Second part would be that if I'm assuming you're also talking people who are entering to workforce or everything.
Yes.
I think learning in the first few years is much more important than titles or money.
Mm.
And I think I've seen both sides of it. You see with your friends, your batchmates and everything.
Mm.
Sometimes it's like, I always take the analogy of a long jump, right?
Mm.
You need to take some steps back to do a longer leap later and reach the maximum distance of long jump. So same thing is like this. Here, you're not taking a step back, but you're taking your choices where you know that this kind of learning I need in my initial years. And thereafter, whatever jump I'll take, it will easily compensate, whether monetary-wise, whether position-wise, title-wise, or responsibility-wise, as you go along in your career.
Mm.
And I think that's very important. And the third part, I would say, is, again, I bring the concept of third is cross-cultural element.
Mm-hmm.
Be open, be respectful of different things. I think, and it starts, if you look at from India, we already have exposed to so many cultures within different states. So that's a good learning point. And when you go overseas, we need to understand that people are as smart as we as anybody is anywhere in the world. We need to be able to accept that. And fourth thing, don't forget yourself. I mean, yourself, when I see is my own self, am I doing enough for myself, for my well-being? And I think that's very important. Sometimes in the rush to show, to succeed, or to put a flag that I'm successful now or I have arrived, we forget that. And I think it's a good way to keep that in track and in front of you when you're starting your career also, that yourself with a capital S is also very important.
Fascinating. I thought you'll add one more, which is don't hesitate in taking risks from your own life.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but it's again, then it's my experience. I don't want to say something and then people start taking and then saying that, okay, it didn't work for them. So maybe you can add that. Why not?
Yes. Okay, wonderful. Nitin, loved your comment about find your compass. Find your compass is a very, very important comment that you have made for all of us. But on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your incredible journey, about the risks that you took in 2003 to make a complete pivot in your life and your career, and look where it has brought you. Thank you for talking to me about your training on meditation and training others from 1999 when you started your journey. Thank you for talking to me about culture. And finally, thank you for sharing such amazing life lessons with each one of us. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Ashutosh. In fact, the things which I was able to say, I give credit to you to the kind of questions you asked, so that I was able to bring these points in a very short time we had. But really, thank you. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to be on your podcast and talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.